6 seconds left. Hallett gets it up top. Marchessault to the right. Big shot! Score! Shai Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shai Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! That's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top 2-1!
Welcome in to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show and a happy Monday to you. The boys still out on the old road trip, but had a pretty successful weekend. Clayton Hamilton here, along with Frank Harnish, Chris Chapman behind the board, celebrating a Super Monday and a 3 games out of 4 games on the win side, Frank.
Yeah, 3 out of 4 on the victory side there, like you mentioned. And, of course, after the worst game of the season, according to some of the players on the team in Minnesota, they regrouped. They were chasing the game. Then they took the lead. And once they took the lead, they didn't look back and get that 4-3 victory over Washington in the nation's capital on the Super Bowl Sunday, a day that today a lot of people believe should be a holiday following the Super Bowl. But, of course, we would come to work regardless because we want to talk about the Vegas Golden Knights.
It would be a national day of rest, I think, is the way people are billing it. Not a bad idea. Always good to have a nice restful day. And Frank,
maybe they could call it Hangover Monday.
Hangover Monday. I like it. We could brand that.
Why not?
Yeah. Sure. You know, Frank, there were some folks, because the world is full of naysayers. Did you know that, Frank?
I've been aware of that for quite some time, yes.
There are people that just sit around and simply say nay.
Right.
And some people say nay, nay.
And a lot of them are parts of a horse.
Yes, that's correct. There are those that have looked at the past 4 games and said, you know what, this Vegas Golden Knight team, not very good, didn't play well in Calgary, didn't play well in Winnipeg, certainly didn't play well in Minnesota, didn't play all that great yesterday. But I think of the other way, that they have not played their best hockey and have won 3 out of 4 games.
And you know, and that is certainly one of the ways to look at it, and the ways that I think the most the NHL is looking at it. They, you know, it's funny. When people like somebody and they want to jump on a bandwagon, they go, you know, the sign of a good team is when you find ways to win games when you're not playing your best. But then some people will turn around and say, you know, this team wins a lot of games, but they're really not that good because they don't really play their best all the time. So you can do it either way you want to, however you want to. The bottom line is Vegas is doing stuff that's unprecedented. Every single victory just increases that total for the victories by an expansion team out there. What are they going to do in the playoffs? I don't know. You don't know. We don't have crystal balls. All I know is right now, enjoy this ride while it's going on. We said before this homestand, if they got 6 points out of the 6 games, they'd be doing well for themselves. Well, where are they at right now?
6 points with 2 games in hand.
There you go. So things are looking well right now. Obviously, tomorrow night's going to be extremely emotional with Marc-Andre Fleury and his return to Pittsburgh. San Jose is waiting for them in San Jose. But that is in the future. Right now, they have another victory. And it was another Vegas Golden Knights-type win that had you on the edge of your seat the entire game. It was exciting. And they found a way to get it done again. And the other nice thing about it is, on an almost game-to-game basis, it's great to have guys like James Neal and Marc-Andre Fleury and guys who you can count on and they're going to be there a lot of times. But it's also nice when you have the ability to have unsung heroes game after game after game. And we certainly had one of those yesterday.
And we certainly did. We saw Ryan Carpenter got involved in the action. Pierre-Édouard Bellemare got involved in the action. Nate Schmidt, who we have not seen do a tremendous amount on the offensive side. He's really been a defensive pillar. He got in on the act. And, of course, Riley Smith from Marchessault and Carlson, you expect those guys to be on the score sheet.
Yeah, and again, that's what's nice. You have the guys that you expect to be there, and then when you get production from the third and fourth lines, which this team has done for a good part of the season, that is a huge bonus. It's a huge plus in hockey, and we've had it all the time. You can have a line that one of your top lines that doesn't necessarily have their best night, but it still doesn't hurt the team when the other ones step up. And by not being their best night, it still doesn't mean it was a horrible night or something. They just didn't get on the scoreboard, but other guys are there to pick them up all the time. And when you have somebody like Marc-Andre Fleury, like we saw again yesterday, yeah, he gave up three goals in the game to the Washington Capitals, a very high potent team. But Alex Ovechkin wasn't on the score sheet. And once they took that 4-3 lead and they weren't chasing the game anymore, then they knuckled down. They got the job done. Flower made some big saves. And Ryan Carpenter made a huge defensive play of his own in there. But again, people jump up. They take different roles. This team truly does epitomize what's winning as a team and losing as a team. In Minnesota, they lost as a team. Yesterday, they won as a team in Washington.
Big Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show today. A full hour of hockey for you. Remember, when the Golden Knights win, you win too. So we're going to have that $50 gift card from MJ Christensen Diamond Jewelers to give away later. We're going to hear from head coach Gerard Gallant, who spoke after practice today. Take a look at our player of the game, our plays of the game as well. We got a lot of news around the NHL today to dissect as well. So lots to get to here on a day after the Super Bowl. But the Golden Knights beat the Washington Capitals 4-3. And let's go ahead and dive in. Let's look at our play of the game. The play of the game is brought to you by Best Mattress. Best Mattress, best service, best selection, best price guaranteed. It was Riley Smith with a 1-2-3 punch at the goal.
Redirected to Marchessault. And Marchessault on the left wing. Holds it along the base of the circle, in front to Smith, and a save. Grubauer stopped him twice, score! On the third chance, Riley Smith on the backhand puts it in, and the Golden Knights power play cashes in again to tie it.
That was your Best Mattress play of the game. Riley Smith with his first of what would be two goals from Alex Tuch and Jonathan Marchessault.
Yeah, and Riley Smith with that goal there, showing the determination and the grit to stay with it. He's in the crease. Guys are knocking him from behind. They're trying to get the puck out of there, but he stuck with it. Not once, not twice, but three times. Finally got the backhander pass. And the only power play opportunity Vegas had yesterday, they cashed in on it. And as we would see in that game, special teams would play a huge role as the power play scored for Vegas, and the penalty kill came back to doing what they do best by shutting down the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, good day for the special teams and a good day for the fourth line. They were the ones that got the scoring underway, and they provided us with our player of the game. Player of the game is brought to you by Brankus Team Realty. Your home sold, guaranteed, and our player of the game, Ryan Carpenter.
James Neal turned away point blank, and then Braden McNabb robbed of a goal by Jay Beagle. Here's Schmidt leading the charge. Belmar takes a look. Feeds it in front. Score! Ryan Carpenter on the redirect. His first as a member of the Golden Knights to tie the game.
Kuznetsov has open room. John Carlson leaves it south of the goal line. There's Backstrom to the front. Oshie spinning pass. Good defensive rotation by Carpenter.
Yeah, that was an open net for the Capitals.
Ryan Carpenter doing it both ends of the ice, offensively, defensively. He got the goal scoring started, putting in the first one there in the first period. And what was really nice about that play by Ryan Carpenter is he's the guy that started the rush. He created and started the transition play, got it up to Nate Schmidt, followed the play down the ice, was on the receiving end of Pierre-Édouard Bellemare's pass for the first goal, not just of the game, but of his Vegas Golden Knight career.
First goal for him, also had an assist in the game, and of course made that huge defensive play at the end, when if he doesn't make that play, the Washington Capitals have a wide open net. They probably tie the game up, but that didn't happen because he was right where he was supposed to be and did what he was supposed to do, knocked it out, making it not the scoring chance that Washington thought when they originally threw the puck over cross ice.
You know, when Philip Grubauer was pulled from the net and it went 6-on-5, that last minute got pretty hairy. There were a lot of chances, and you can't understate just how much that save he made, flicking the puck away from an open net. That's the equivalent of the diving play in the outfield with two outs that saves a run, or the robbed home run. Sometimes it's not always on the score sheet, but that's the equivalent of scoring a goal.
Yeah, and by him stealing that goal away, it kind of evened up, because Washington has stole the goal earlier when Jay Beagle made a diving play to keep a puck out of the net where Vegas would have had a goal early on in it. So it evened it itself up yesterday. Of course, Carpenter did his at the most crucial point of the game. Not to take anything away from Beagle's play, because it was phenomenal. But it's nice to know for goalies, too, that even if you're beat or out of position just because of the way the puck is moving around, when guys make plays behind you like that, I don't know if they get a mistake dinner, give them an attaboy and a knuckle bash or whatever they do, but I'm sure that they are appreciative of it because that definitely saved Flower from potentially having to go to an overtime session.
We haven't seen a ton of Ryan Carpenter, but what we have seen is really encouraging, and what we see at practice every day, also very encouraging. I like what I see out of this kid.
I like what I see out of him, and he just seems to be kind of what they said this team was going to be built on. Heart, grit, guts, determination. Not the biggest guy out there, but he's not exactly small. Not the most skilled player or the fastest skater or whatever, but he's got speed and can do that burst and everything. But one of the hardest workers you're going to see out there. And he doesn't get in a lot of games, but when he does get in the games, he gives maximum effort every single shift he hits on the ice. And he's making it hard to not only keep him out of the lineup, but to not give him a little bit more ice time down the road. Of course, there's other guys on this team that would like to make that not happen as much because they want more ice time too. But it's a friendly competition because they all play for each other, and that's the that is why this team is winning and they have 35 victories.
Mm-hmm. And they do play for each other, and they're going to be playing for Marc-Andre Fleury tomorrow night in Pittsburgh when he gets his triumphant return to the place where he won 3 Stanley Cups, where he is a beloved figure, not just in the locker room, but all around the arena and the city. It's going to be a big night for him.
Well, it's going to be a huge night for him, and I don't know what kind of tribute they're going to do. I'm sure there's going to be some kind of video thing. I don't know exactly how big it will be. But the thing about Marc-Andre Fleury is he might not be in Pittsburgh anymore, but he will always be in Pittsburgh. They have playgrounds named after him that he's helped with. He's done charity work in different organizations. He is beloved, like you mentioned there. When he goes into the Hall of Fame, unless he goes on to win 3 Stanley Cups with the Vegas Golden Knights and it's a tough choice for him or something, most people will always think of him as a Vegas Golden Knight. But it's not like he's 40 years old or something like that. He still has plenty of time to do a lot of stuff here with Vegas as well and make his mark there. But he will always be beloved in Pittsburgh for what he's done. I'm sure one of the hardest things they had to do was not protect him. But they love Matt Murray, their young goaltender, who's several years younger than Marc-Andre Fleury. And if you think that Marc-Andre Fleury is just a guy that was, well, he was part of some pretty good teams. With his win yesterday, becomes the 13th winningest goalie in the history of the NHL with his 390th win. And again, he's still got years to come and hopefully several more W's to come that way. So this guy is class on the ice, maybe even classier off the ice. He's just a great guy to be around.
He certainly is. And he'll probably be a Pittsburgh Penguin for life, sort of in terms of how the fans will view him, regardless of what he does here in Vegas. And I would suspect that his plaque and his honors at the Hall of Fame will have a whole lot of Pittsburgh swag in them.
Right, but like we said before, too, how great would that be as if the three-peat this year wasn't with the Penguins, but it was with Marc-Andre Fleury, who won back-to-back in Pittsburgh. If Vegas could win a Stanley Cup, Cup in One is the hashtag we see around there, and it's not completely out of the realm of possibility. But the other thing about it, too, is for everything he has done in Pittsburgh, he'll also be one other thing here in Vegas. He will forever and always be the first official face of the team. Although maybe reluctantly, and maybe he wasn't crazy about it, but when his name was chosen on that expansion draft night, he was the one that everybody knew, everybody talked about. James Neal, David Perron, there's other guys who had made their mark in the NHL, but Marc-Andre Fleury was the one that everybody around the hockey world was talking about.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley, and that was certainly the subject on every reporter's mind at practice today. The photos of the scrum in the locker room around Marc-Andre Fleury were enormous. As if not just everybody from the Vegas media being there, but everyone from the Pittsburgh media there, everyone from the national media, both in the United States and Canada, there to cover this story tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. Another father with a thought on that was head coach Gerard Gallant. He addressed the media after practice. The subject, of course, was Marc-Andre Fleury and what he meant to the city of Pittsburgh.
Well, Mark's a true pro, and like I said, it's going to be emotional for him for sure. I mean, he played with this team a long time. He won 3 Stanley Cup with this group, so you know he's got a lot of fans and a lot of friends in the other team. So it'll be fun, and just like I said, it's another game for us, but for Mark, it's a big hit.
You've had a little while to watch him now. What does he do well for your group?
Well, he's a leader. He's a leader of our group, and he's a great goaltender, and that's why we're in the position we're in right now. I mean, we got good leadership. We got great goaltending, and he's a big part of that.
We asked him about that specifically, and he said look, it's not like there's classes. I don't give classes.
Gary, run the mic, buddy.
How does he do it then? Like, how does
he?
Well, you're asking the wrong guy. I mean, I don't know. I don't go in the dressing room. We got veterans, we got leaders, and he does it by example. He leads by example. He plays the game the right way. He prepares himself the right way. And like I said, we've got a great group of guys, and they're having fun. And so that's what he does. There's no classes by me either. It's just we go do our job, and you know, they do it the best you can, and the guys are having success. And Mark's a big part of that group. Like he was here with the Penguins. No different. He's a big part of our group.
It's a big thing making himself available for those who do have questions that want to come to him, because he's been through ups and downs. He's kind of ridden that roller coaster.
Again, you know, the leadership group takes care of that. It's not, I don't go in the room and I'm not around them a whole lot. I mean, we run our practice, we do our preparation, but when guys need help, they go to Derek Englund, they go to Marc-Andre Fleury, they go to their leadership group, and every team has that. And, you know, they're important for our group. We got a lot of young guys.
Knowing how much he meant to this organization, this city, what are you most looking forward to tomorrow to see how this fan base will embrace his return?
Well, I know how they're going to embrace his return. There's no question how they're going to embrace him. They love him here. He's a guy that won 3 Stanley Cups here, and his teammates love him here. You know, his former teammates love him here. So it's not going to be an issue. It's going to be an issue about him trying to play real well and playing against a team that's, you know, red hot team that's very good and the defending Stanley Cup champions. And so that's going to be a battle, and that's how he's going to face it tomorrow.
In your short time with him, is there anything that you've picked up or learned about him that you didn't know prior?
No, just I didn't know him very well, but I know he's a fun-loving guy who comes to the rink every day with a smile on his face, and he works real hard, and you know, that's really important for our group, and that's what we try and do as a group. We try and come to the rink and have fun and work hard, and he's perfect for that leadership for us.
Marc-Andre Fleury, perfect for the leadership group, and they do it in so many different ways. Such a different character, Marc-Andre Fleury, than Derek Englund, whom head coach Gerard Gallant mentioned, than Nate Schmidt, than Pierre-Edouard Belmare.
Yeah, they have a lot of leaders on this team. And it's funny, too, because, and I totally agree with him, Marc-Andre Fleury does work hard. And you can see him get upset when he goes on little streaks when he feels he's not playing well and he refocuses and that. As much as he likes when his teammates do something good, he also wants to shut them down when they're going after him. But while he's working hard, he also has a blast doing it. And you'll see him doing some stuff of grabbing somebody by behind or shooting a puck or something like that between his legs and doing some different stuff. Although he's working his butt off and trying to be the best that he can possibly be, he also really loves what he's doing. And that shows through. If you don't see it in the games all the times as much because you can't really show your personality because you're trying to do what you do, I'd love to have a mic on him to hear the stuff he says, because we hear that he's quite the chatterbox out there and we can't always pick that up. But go to City National Arena and watch these guys practice, and you'll see him having fun with the guys and playing around a little bit and just enjoying what he does. More of his personality is allowed to show on the ice there in practice than it does in the games, because games are games and practice is practice, man.
It's practice. Yeah, he is. It's two different people when you see him out on the ice and he's in his comfort zone, and he doesn't like having all of the attention around him in the locker room or on the bus, or he's not the one that would like to go and do the Today Show and all of the promos that the NHL sort of forced upon him. He's most comfortable on that ice sheet, sort of away from the interactions of people other than his teammates.
Yeah, and certainly the spotlight shines on him frequently, but it's a reluctant spotlight from his point of view when he's in it. He will be cordial, he'll be gracious, he'll be professional about it, but you can tell that he would like to go, well, why don't you go talk to that guy or that guy? I think that he probably misses Sidney Crosby the most of any of his teammates, just because the media was always talking to Sidney Crosby, and he didn't have to answer as much. But like you said, look at the media throng around him right now, and it looks like they're like 5 or 6 deep or something like that for the scrums. And that's just the media. I can't even imagine when the Golden Knights do a little practice skate or something. I'm sure that arena is going to be packed as City National has been for a lot of the stuff, which the players have all just marveled at this entire season.
Yeah, it certainly is suffocating when you look at that. And if there's anybody that's going to be happy about the sort of game day protocol of not talking to a starting goaltender, it's going to be Marc-Andre Fleury, who can wrap up his obligations to the media today and be focused and ready for tomorrow.
Yeah, and if there's anybody, I'm sure that he's really looking forward to tomorrow, and it's going to be emotional, but I'm sure he's also looking forward to tomorrow being over.
He certainly is, and when you talk about that leadership group, I would suspect we will get a healthy dose of Derek England, Nate Schmidt, and James Neal tomorrow, who will recognize that the obligation that they have to take some of the eyes off of Marc-Andre Fleury tomorrow when it comes to media obligations.
Yeah, and I would imagine that in that other locker room over there in Pittsburgh, that there's going to be answering a lot of questions about Marc-Andre Fleury as well. I'm sure Matt Murray will have stuff to say about it. Sidney Crosby and there, the other guys there as well. The front office, the coach, I mean, everybody, because Marc-Andre Fleury, like we said, is now and will forever be a huge part of that Pittsburgh community.
He will, and we're glad to have him, though, so you don't get any ideas, Pittsburgh, about taking him back. Marc-Andre Fleury is
ours. No take-backs.
No take-backs, exactly. Marc-Andre Fleury in net tomorrow night, Pittsburgh Penguins and the Vegas Golden Knights, and we will be with you all along the way. We're going to have the pregame show for you at 3:30, puck drop at 4 o'clock, so listen right here on Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley.
And remember, too, tomorrow we'll be doing the show live on location because of that early start time.
Right, and we're going to be at Born and Raised on
Warm Springs.
And Cimarron. So we will be there 2 to 3 o'clock doing this show, and at 3:30, the pregame show, the intermission reports, postgame as well. Well, when your Vegas Golden Knights win, you win too. So always listen to us after every Golden Knights win for your chance at a $50 gift card to MJ Christensen Diamond Jewelers. We are going to give that right away right now. 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. Marc-Andre Fleury's got three cups. If he gets one with us, that would be number 4. So caller number 4, you're going to MJ Christensen Diamond Jewelers with your $50 gift card. Give us a buzz. 702-876-1340. When we come back, Frank and I are going to break down all the news that happened this weekend in the National Hockey League and take a look towards the trade deadline right here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey.
Golden Knights into the zone on the left wing side. Drop pass. Belmar left circle. Throws it in front. They score! Carpenter! Redirection from Ryan Carpenter. His first goal with Vegas. Marchessault, the righty, looks over the options. Throws it down low. Quick stick save. Another try. Another stop. They score! 3 tries. Smith finally finishes. Fires forward for Vegas, connects with Jonathan Marchessault from the center logo, slides it left, got it to Smith, he shoots and scores! Second of the game for Riley Smith. Tuck swings to the far side, pivots back toward the corner, pressured on the far side. Now a quick stick left side, trickles out in front, and it goes in! Vegas has scored! Alex Tuck forced it home! 4-3 Knights, 5:12 to go in the third.
4-3, your final. Dan Duva on the call for good goals for the Vegas Golden Knights, including Alex Tuck with the game winner. And a special shout out to Alex Tuck, who was right there on the brink of play of the game or player of the game, and just missed today, but what an effort for him.
Yeah, he gets the honorable mention there, but certainly a good game for him and a good comeback win for the Vegas Golden Knights there. And Alex Tuck now in the double-digit scoring with his 10th goal of the season.
Yeah, 10 goals for Alex. Looked good yesterday, was moving well, and he really muscled in for that final goal. I like it when he uses his size.
I also thought it was kind of funny almost when Washington was asking them to review it and look at it, and that, because there is no way there was any goal. Even in this day and age when they say, well, if you're in doubt whatsoever, try for it. And I get it. It was a big goal, and that's why they did it. But that was not even close to goaltender interference on that one there. If anything, it was some kind of a holding or hooking penalty or something on the Washington defenseman trying to stop him. But Tuck would not be denied, and he went in there and got the goal. And a huge goal and a nice effort by him and a nice win for Vegas.
My favorite Alex Tuck moment from yesterday was when he got the penalty and he went to the box, the penalty for interference, and he was talking to the judge that sits in there, and he was trying to understand what he did wrong. And after it was explained to him, he just looked at him right in the eye and said, "That's dumb."
Well, and it was dumb, because when they first called the penalty, you saw him kind of smiling because he thought the penalty was on Washington.
Mm-hmm,
and then
I.
when they called the interference on him, he's like, "Wait, it's what?" It's either a no call or the penalty was on Washington.
Yeah, it was
but
silly.
That's not what they called, and it was a little home cooking. You can't complain too much about the officials because there was three penalties right. the entire game. So it's not like they were blowing the whistles all over the place. And luckily for Vegas and happily for Alex Tuck, it did not affect them because the penalty kill, once again, was their stellar self like they had been in most of the games up until the game before that when they gave up two power play goals to Minnesota. But shut down both opportunities yesterday. So not a lot of whistles. But that one there, they probably should have been one fewer penalty than the three they called.
Yeah, it was so funny. Just the look on his face. That's dumb. I can just picture him saying that, too. Like, the times we get to talk to him in the locker room, I can hear him say it.
Well, you can hear him say it, and I don't know about you, but when I hear him say it in my head, it's with a smile on his face, kind of like, that's dumb.
That's dumb, right?
It's like, come on.
I'm just going to say, too, that I am a big fan of Alex Tuck playing with Pierre-Edward Belmare. I think Belmare is going to bring out the best in him,
mm-hmm.
and it's something we may see going forward. We've seen it a few times this year. Yesterday, we saw it, Belmare getting the assist on the Tuck goal, but I really think Belmare and Tuck playing together is going to bring out the best in both of them.
Possibly could. I mean, we'll see. We know Gerard Gallant's not afraid to mix things up a little bit here and there, a little bit more reluctant sometimes when they're having success.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know whether or not we will see Will Carrier tomorrow. We didn't see him after the first period. Leads me to believe he might not be in the lineup tomorrow, but nothing official has been said yet. We do know that Philip Forsberg, Frank, not going to be in the lineup. He was suspended 3 games for interference for a hit that he put on Jimmy Vesey of the New York Rangers, a pretty nasty elbow to the head well after Jimmy Vesey had released the puck. It will cost Forsberg $96,774.18.
Yeah, and if you watch that play, it looks really bad in super slow-mo, and then you watch it regular speed, and it looks really bad in regular real speed, too, as well. I mean, Vesey, he had the puck. He threw it behind the net. It was well off his stick. He was skating around. If it was like strides of a walking or something like that, it probably would have been a good 3 or 4 strides because he was almost completely around the net. And Forsberg was just waiting for him there, skated back into him. Then not only the fact that he threw the hit on him, kind of a blindside hit, but that he went towards the head, that's what made the 3-game suspension because it's not like he's a repeat offender or something, but that was bad enough, that egregious enough to warrant the 3-game suspension for the first-time offender.
Some injury news from Pittsburgh that will factor in tomorrow night. Penguins forward Patrick Hornquist considered week-to-week with a lower body injury after his collision with Capitals defenseman Brooks Orpik on Friday night.
Yeah, and again, I mean, we love the NHL and that, but it does kind of drive me crazy when there's only upper body and lower body because you never know exactly what it is. But Hornquist, certainly one of the players that has been instrumental in the back-to-back Stanley Cups that the Pittsburgh Penguins have. He is a good quality player for them. I'm sure he will be sorely missed. Something tells me that he will find a way to Pittsburgh tomorrow night, whether he's on the ice or not, to pay tribute to Marc-Andre Fleury.
It's going to cause some shuffling in the lines. Tom Kunackle, he practiced today with Evgeny Malkin and Carl Hagelin. And remember, Connor Sheary is out as well. Brian Rust has been moved to that line to replace Connor Sheary to play with Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, injuries dictate that guys have to move around and do different things, but Brian Rust has been playing pretty well for them. But Connor Sheary, another guy that maybe some people don't think he's as good as his numbers or stats or whatever, I think he's a pretty darn good hockey player.
No, I think so, too, and it takes a special kind of player to play with an elite talent sometimes, and he certainly fits the bill, Connor Sheary, so they will miss him. We will not see him tomorrow night. Corey Crawford is back on the ice, at least skating at practice. He's missed 16 games with an upper body injury. It's vertigo. And he's back on the ice, at least skating by himself.
Yeah, Coach Joe Quenneville said that he was going to be back on the ice the first time, like you said, since December 23rd. They haven't even let him on the ice out there. There's been reports of vertigo. There's been reports that it could be some kind of concussion-like syndrome. I still don't know if they know exactly what it is with him. The Blackhawks certainly need him back if they want to make a legitimate run. They're currently 6 points behind Minnesota for the second wild card spot, but I don't think that's the number one priority for them. Corey Crawford is an elite goaltender. I don't think he gets nearly enough credit for the success that the Blackhawks have had. Basically, when Corey Crawford plays, the Blackhawks win. When he doesn't, they struggle to win. And this year, they're struggling. But when you're coming with head injuries and vertigo and things like that, those are scary things, especially when you don't know exactly what it really is.
More news from Chicago. Brendan Saad has been moved to the fourth line. He will join Ryan Hartman and Patrick Sharp.
Brendan Saad was a guy that Chicago Blackhawks fans were excited to get back there, and the organization seemed excited about it. I kind of questioned it for what they lost, and he has not worked out, just like Patrick Sharp hasn't been the player that they were hoping he was going to be with Chicago. It's kind of like they tried to turn back the time machine and bring some of these guys back, but they're not the same players that they were when they played with the Blackhawks that were winning Stanley Cup teams.
Brendan Saad had a really good start to the season. The first week or so, many people saying that Columbus was stupid to trade him, take Artemi Panarin, a guy that hasn't done anything without Patrick Kane and wouldn't be a good player without him. Is it safe to say that as of right this moment today, Columbus won the Panarin for Saad trade?
I would say right now they absolutely won the Panarin for Saad trade. Not only the fact of the way that Panarin has started fitting in the way he's going, but Panarin's a younger player too. I mean, although he's not young by rookie standards when he came into the league because he played for years over in the KHL, he's been around a little while, but I think they absolutely have won that trade at this point of the season here right now. And the Blackhawks, they've made some bad moves, but they handicapped themselves or handcuffed themselves, excuse me, with the salary cap issues and that kind of stuff. When you overpay some players, and I realize you have to pay guys to keep them there sometimes, but, you know, they're still suffering big time from the Kane and Toews contracts, and then with Seabrook and the other guys out there. I mean, Duncan Keith, they pay a lot of guys a lot of money. Well, when a ton of people get all the money, it doesn't leave a lot to spread around to the other ones, and some guys have to leave. Artemi Panarin, they felt they couldn't keep him anymore, although that was really weird because they had just given him a raise, and then they traded him.
Yeah, it's very strange indeed, but Columbus happy to have the bread man. Goaltender Ben Bishop of the Dallas Stars will be back in the lineup tonight against the New York Rangers. He missed some time after he was hit in the face on the bench with a puck. He said his face is still a little bit swollen, but he's ready to go.
Ben Bishop, I truly think, could be that one missing piece that Dallas needed going into the season. We talked about some of the changes they had made. They didn't go after their goaltending issues for two or three seasons there with Lettinen and Niemi there. Bishop is a huge upgrade, in my opinion, over those two guys. But he seems to get hit in the face with pucks sometimes. He got hit in the face there. Remember the earlier game against the Vegas Golden Knights when he kind of got hit when the puck kind of sneaked through and hit him in there, and that he was playing lights out that game, and then Lettinen came in, and the Vegas Golden Knights kind of lit him up a little bit to get that unbelievable win to start off this season and everything that's gone on since then. But if Bishop can stay healthy, he could be a huge asset and maybe help to make some noise in the playoffs. First, they have to get to the playoffs, and staying healthy is one of the big problems with them. That's one of the reasons why Tampa Bay was kind of willing to let him go.
Also in Dallas, centerman Martin Hanzel took part in Sunday's optional practice, and he's getting close to return as possibly as early as today. I believe just a couple minutes ago that they tweeted out that he is going to play. So he's moved from a game-time decision to in the lineup tonight, and Martin Hanzel has missed the last five games, missed a total of 20 due to injuries this season. He centered a line with Brett Ritchie and Remy Elie.
Yeah, and again, you need to have depth. You need to have four solid lines. You need that consistency in guys that know the system. He knows the system. He knows the team. So that should be a good addition if he's ready to go. And like you said, going from the, you know, day-to-day type list or whatever to in the lineup now, well, obviously I think he's ready to go, and they could probably use him.
Three stars of the week are out, Frank. And there's some Golden Knight ties coming in at the third star of the week is our own Riley Smith. He finished second in goals and tied for third in points across all of the NHL. He had a goal and an assist against the Calgary Flames. He had a goal in the overtime win against the Winnipeg Jets. And he had a two-goal outing in yesterday's Washington Capital victory.
Yeah, Riley Smith, certainly a big part of that. And now I believe in Chris Chapman pointed this out to us earlier when we were talking about this. That makes every single one of those players on that line now that they've been one of the three stars of the week, at least one week in the NHL this season. So not bad for a bunch of castaways that other teams didn't want.
That's correct. Another castaway got his shot in Florida. They've had all sorts of goaltender issues, Frank. Hari Sateri, he went 3-0-0 with a 167 goals against average, a 946 save percentage to guide the Panthers to a perfect week and a tie for fourth place in the Atlantic Division.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of weird because I know the Florida Panthers are not having a season like the Vegas Golden Knights, but I look at the goaltending problems they've had there, and certainly Luongo go down with an injury, then Ramey comes in and Reimer comes in, mm-hmm. and he gets injured after being one of the players of the week or something like that. Now it's, you know, goaltending is an incredibly important position for teams, but it is amazing how a lot of these guys, when they're given the opportunity, maybe it's because they're bigger, stronger, more athletic than that, but there's a lot of really, really good goalies out there. Now, one of the keys, obviously, is can you sustain that when other teams get more footage on you and know your tendencies and they look at all the shot things and, okay, well, he's playing good now, but he's a little bit weak to the stick side, or this one can be beat low glove side, or, you know, when they get that film on you and they can really dissect it more, sometimes then goalies can be found out a little bit more. But a lot of these guys come in here. How many times have we seen backup goalies against the Vegas Golden Knights, and they just seem lights out, and you're like, why is this guy the backup?
And they go in really good stretches. Even look at a guy like Philip Grubauer yesterday, comes in with a 260 goals against average. That's more than a third of a goal worse than his career average. But over his last five games going into yesterday, it was at a 1.53. So he gets really hot.
Yeah, well, look at a guy like Saros with mm-hmm. the Nashville Predators. He shut out the Vegas Golden Knights, and he's got, like, what, at that point, I think he had, like, five wins on the season, and three of them were shutouts. I mean, it's just ridiculous sometimes. When they're on, they're on. But when they're not, you know, and it's difficult, too. Like, Malcolm Subban, I do think he's a great athlete, and I think he's a quality goalie. My biggest concern with Malcolm Subban is I don't know that Subban gets enough time to stay fresh all the time. And we don't have the luxury like some of the other teams do that we can send him down to the Wolves to get some games in there because he wouldn't clear waivers. So it's going to be a difficult and interesting juggling match to see what Gerard Gallant and Dave Parra decide to do with the goalie rotations the rest of the season.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish, looking at the three stars of the week. And star number one, Evgeny Malkin of the Pittsburgh Penguins. He led all skaters with 6 goals and 8 points as the Penguins gained a 4 of a possible 6 points to finish the week. He recorded his 12th career regular season hat trick as well.
Yeah, and no surprise, Evgeny Malkin is one of the quality players out there. Everybody talks about Sidney Crosby, and rightfully so. Malkin is right up there. They're a dynamic 1-2 punch. They're exactly what the Edmonton Oilers are hoping Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are going to be, a younger version of it that they can be around for years. It hasn't worked out for Edmonton necessarily this year. And I know Pittsburgh has that next man up mentality, and it certainly has worked out for them, and they've won the back-to-back Stanley Cups. But make no mistake about it, Sidney Crosby is a superstar. Evgeny Malkin is also a superstar. They have two of the best top 10. Some people would argue all the way up to like two of the top 5 players in the league. This guy is dynamite, well-deserving of it, and one of the huge, huge, huge reasons for the Penguins' success the last few years.
Well, we know from yesterday, Frank, and over the past couple of games, the Golden Knights' power play has been very successful. They were 100%. Yesterday, but around the league, power play numbers are going up. There's a success rate of 19.8%, which is up from 19.1% last season, and it would be the best in a season since 1989-1990 when teams scored at a 20.8% clip.
Yeah, and the thing about it that makes this really impressive to me when you look at these numbers and you look at way back, okay, 89-90, goalies weren't nearly as good as they are today. Mm-hmm. But now to see that kind of success rate with the goalies as talented as they are and with all the video and films that teams have on everybody, first off, it really makes you appreciate what these guys are doing and the skill level and the talent level that they have in the NHL. Remember, it wasn't that long ago that they were talking about increasing the net size and this and that to get scoring up and things. But the other thing that I take when I look at this, it just makes me that much more appreciative of how good the Vegas Golden Knights penalty kill has been with these numbers going up around the league for all these other teams.
And you also think about how many fewer power play opportunities that there are, which speaks to how well the Golden Knights have done on the penalty kill. It started out with 7.44 power plays per game in October, but it has dropped to 6.21, and it could get as low, if it's going at the current rate, as 5.97 10 years ago, they were averaging 8.5 power plays per game, so a lot less opportunities.
10 years ago, there was also a lot more fighting, and they called the game a little bit differently in that, too. I think that players today play a little bit smarter. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think they have a lot of penalties. And referees are reluctant to call games at the end. That's always been the way that it's been in the NHL. But maybe the fact that these guys know, remember early on in the season, they were calling some different things, and they called it in the preseason a lot. It seems like they've swallowed their whistles a little bit here and there. But it really does seem like, for the most part, players are playing smarter, because it's like, oh, they actually are going to call this stuff. So they've kind of quit doing it. That being said, at some point, some referee has to be told, when Colin Miller continues to get hit in the face, at some point you have to call a penalty on that.
Yeah, you absolutely.
And quit ignoring it.
Yeah, the poor guy, man, every game gets one right in the kisser.
Sticks, elbows, fists, whatever.
But we have seen a marketed decline of the slash. Just watching in regular play, and we don't see like, oh, that should have been a slash, or that should have been a slash. It's not something that's really in the consciousness. So it did work, whatever they did there in preseason. When we come back, though, we're going to take a look at today. Today actually ended up being a pretty special day in the history of the NHL, and we will dive into that on the other side of the break right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. In between games, big win yesterday in Washington, game tomorrow in Pittsburgh, 3:30 for the pregame show, 4 o'clock for puck drop right here on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Join Frank and I down at Born and Raised on Warm Springs. We're going to do the live show at 2 o'clock, plus the pregame, intermission, and postgame as well. And am I to understand, Frank, that today, February 5th, is a very special day in the history of hockey?
Well, it's a day that a lot of things have happened in the NHL, and of course, This Day in Sports was something I did for a few years and turned over the reins to that to Chris Chapman, who does a great job on it, and that covers every sport around. But in the NHL on February the 5th, several things have happened. Gordie Howe in 1980 played his 23rd and final All-Star game on this day. In 1989, Steve Yzerman of the Detroit Red Wings had his second straight 50-goal season. He would end that season with 65 goals. He would end his career with five different 50-goal seasons. Dave Taylor became the 29th player to score 1,000 points in 1991. In 1994, Washington's Peter Bondra had four goals on four shots in 4 minutes and 12 seconds of the first period in a 6-3 victory over Tampa Bay, becoming the fastest player to record four goals in a game. By the way, in that game at the 19:30 mark of the second period, he would also score his fifth goal in the game. So a five-goal game for Mr. Bondra. In 1999, Ron Francis became the second player to record 500 points with two different teams, originally with the Hartford Whalers. Later on, with the Pittsburgh Penguins, he would end his career with over 1,700 points. And in 1999, Patrick Waugh became the youngest goaltender at the age of 33 to record his 400th victory, leading Colorado to a 3-1 victory over the Detroit Red Wings. So for one day, there's a lot of stuff that has happened. But 1999 was the last one. Maybe next year we'll be talking about some monument of Marc-Andre Fleury or something like
maybe
that.
Maybe. You know, so Peter Bondra, four goals in 4.5 minutes, and he only ends up with five. What a scrub that guy was, huh?
Well, wasn't his best
day. We're talking about wasting the rest of the game.
Should also be noted that exactly 3 days to the day later, Bondra scored a hat trick. So Bondra, big fan of February 5th.
And by the way, Patrick Waugh, when he won that 400th game, that was his 10th consecutive victory.
That was the Washington Capitals in the Peter Bondra era with the eagle on the front, was it not? With the light blue and the gold stars on the uniform?
Were they going for the Washington Wizards look?
A lot of Eagle fans around right now after yesterday.
There are a lot of Eagle fans. But yeah, I remember that jersey. I didn't like that jersey. I was glad when they returned to the red that they have now. Much better look for the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, I mean, I think Washington's got the right ones.
Yeah, they do.
Looking forward to Vancouver wearing their Chinese red
jerseys. Yeah, I'm looking for that too. We'll see Pittsburgh tomorrow return to the black and yellow. Didn't like the gold phase they went through. Stick around, though, right now. T.C. Martin, the doctor, is next.